From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Michael Lev with the Arizona Daily Star. I'm here in the lobby of the Lowell Stevens football facility on the campus of the University of Arizona with my buddy Zach Rosenblatt, also of the Arizona Daily Star. Hi, Zach.
Hey, we're going to be here every week, so we're making camp here. People better get used to it, I guess.
That was a really long intro. I don't know why I needed to put all those disclaimers in front of just saying that I'm sitting here with Zach and we're going to talk football.
In Tucson, Arizona, in the United States of America.
On Earth, in the Milky Way galaxy, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Well, we're going to break up this show, this first podcast episode of the week, into kind of a review and preview. And I think we'll try to follow that format each week with our Monday podcast. We'll start by looking back a little bit at what happened against Northern Arizona this week, and then we'll look ahead, of course, to Houston. And we'll start things off by listening to Rich Rodriguez's opening comments in his Monday news conference.
Well, from the game film yesterday was predominantly trying to make some corrections, and there were some good, and there were some not so good. But a lot of the stuff was not so good. We think we can correct. The effort was, I thought, really good. We did some fundamental things, tackling-wise and blocking-wise, that was pretty good for the first game, and some other stuff that, that even some of the upperclassmen know we got to get better at. But overall, it's a good time to teach off of them, because you really don't know for sure until you go live, like a lot of special team stuff and some of the new guys and defense and all that. Got a lot of good experience.
So. All right, yeah. So that was Rich Rod just at his weekly press conference, just talking about the NAU game. Michael, as you did every week last season, and you'll do every week this season, you sit down on Sunday night, you watch the film, you break down position, almost position by position, play by play. What happens? I guess let's start with the offense. What sticks out? What are give me a few things that stuck out when you watch film.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was pretty obvious watching it the first time and then watching it the second time that there really wasn't a lot of the passing game on display. Everything was very basic. It was either 5-yard outs, quick hooks, or deep throws down the sideline. There wasn't a lot of in-between. I wonder if they didn't want to show everything to Houston. You know, when I watched the defense, I sort of thought the same thing. It was pretty vanilla for them. There wasn't a ton of movement along the defensive line. There weren't a lot of exotic blitzes. I feel like they held back to a degree in that game, which is probably a smart strategy. What's interesting from the offensive side of things is there was this big Twitter debate happening, over the course of Sunday and even into today, Zach, about whether they should have thrown the ball more just because they need to work on
that. Just to, get some film on it and show what they have improved on. And, yeah, we didn't – we talked about after the game, we didn't come out of that game thinking they advanced at all. I mean, it's just hard to say because they didn't really pass it at all.
Yeah, I mean, the coaches, obviously, they want to win the game as quickly and efficiently as possible. They didn't feel like they needed to throw the ball in order to beat NAU. They were able to just stick with the ground game. But what the people on Twitter were saying was, well, we know we can run. Why don't we work on passing in game situations? I think that's a great theory. Maybe something.
Twitter analyst with the rare good point,
Hey, come on, man. Give them some credit. They come up with some smart stuff. Every now and again,
Armchair quarterback, as they say.
I have respect for my Twitter followers.
No, I didn't mean to trash all of my Twitter followers.
I'm not like you, Zach. Man, I'm a man of the people. I'm a positive person here. But anyway, it's probably an interesting thing to ask Rich about later in the week. How you approach that sort of situation. I mean, it's different. Obviously, at the end of the season, against ASU that it's going to be your last game, no matter what. There's really no need to practice with guys who might not be with the team again next year. But maybe there is some merit to what the people on Twitter were talking about.
Yeah.
The other thing, of course, from that game is so many freshmen played. So many guys, were able to kind of get a first impression of.
He wasn't lying.
He was not lying about that at all, no. I think it was, 13 true freshmen and 23 newcomers overall, if you count guys who just hadn't played here
before.
Yeah,
if you count redshirt freshmen who never played a game before,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're going to get some good, you're going to get some bad in a situation like that.
In the very first game, of course, yeah.
I mean, just one guy to focus on in particular who was kind of both the good and the bad, and I wrote about this in that piece that you referenced, which everyone can find on Tucson.com as well as the Wildcaster app. Kylan Wilborn, right? Huge sack fumble. Had a couple other.
It was a big hit, too.
It was a big hit. I mean, it was good technique-wise in that he hit the ball. You know, I mean, he didn't give him a chance.
Scooby Wright-esque.
Was it Scooby Wright-esque? Is that how Scooby did it?
Scooby Strip, the one he did against Marcus Mariota, where he kind of ripped it out of his hand. This one, he kind of just hit him hard. But
yeah, I remember that Scooby Strip. That was an iconic play, an amazing moment. But so he had, you know, he had the sack fumble. I think he had three other quarterback pressures in the game, but he also struggled with setting the edge, you know, which is also one of the responsibilities of a defensive end. You know, you don't want to let the running back get to the outside, break into the clear. So, you know, a lot of things you like, promising skill set that he showed, but also some things to work on, which is going to be the case with every single one of these freshmen, you know, unless you're Ed Oliver, who we'll get to a little bit later in the show. Zach, what, now that you've had a little bit of time to think about the game for a couple days, let things marinate, was there anything that stood out to you in particular?
For me, it's just hard to take too much out of that game. If there's anything that sticks out to me, it's just the philosophy. You know, we often have joked about how there's like certain myths about Rich Rodriguez that he talks about all preseason and they never pan out. He split up the running back carries, and I would imagine that that's how they're going to go about it. You know, they had Nick Wilson in one series, then they brought J.J. Taylor in, and I kind of like it like that. You know, you right, if Nick had been like blowing the top off, which he had a play where he did, then maybe you stick with him a little longer or vice versa with J.J. But yeah, I mean, I like the way they split it up, and who knows if he's going to play Zach Green and Nathan Tilford as much as he did going forward because it was a blowout. But, I mean, you like having different looks, and really all four of them bring something different to the table. So I'm very interested to see going forward if he sticks with that, you know?
They also rotated on defense extensively.
Yeah, that's one of the other myths we joke about.
I think Demetrius Flanagan Fowles played pretty much the whole game until they put the subs in, and I think Scotty Young was in the same boat, but pretty much everyone else was rotating throughout the game, and I think they're going to keep doing that now.
Tony Fields played quite a bit, too.
He did play quite a bit, and Brandon Rutt did, too. But they did come out at times, and Colacion was in there at times. Schooler was in there at times. Now, we've talked about how they don't really have a ton of, like, standouts on defense, guys who you'd want to necessarily play the entire game. I think Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, DFF, as I like to call him, I think he falls into that category as someone you don't want him to leave the field if he doesn't have to. And he really showed, you know, and I think you talked to him about this during fall camp, like, he worked on one of his weaknesses in the offseason.
Reeling the ball in, yeah.
That's right. He struggled to complete those interceptions, and I like to see that. I like to see a guy who's able to recognize what his weaknesses are, work on them in the offseason, and then you actually see it out there on the field on Saturday.
Well, and for him, I mean, not that this is much of a topic yet, but if he wants to get noticed by NFL scouts, you do it by forcing turnovers and making big plays. We've talked about how he looks the part. The next step is playing the part.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, one other thing I want to bring up, and that's something that Rich brought up during the press conference when I asked him about it, is why Cam Denson didn't play in the game. And pretty much they threw pretty much everyone in there at some point in time. Derek Holmes got to play. I mean, some guys who were really, you know, down the depth chart. And Rich said that foot injury that Cam suffered in spring is still bothering him. He's not 100%. I even asked if...
Yeah, I would say you broached the interesting topic that they could possibly redshirt him, which would make a lot of sense. The kid has to want to do it too in part, but they kind of need depth at receiver next year especially. They're going to be losing Sean Poindexter. I'm blanking. Who else are they losing?
I don't know if there's anybody else who's a senior.
I guess Cam Denson was one of the other seniors.
He's one of the other
Tyrell
seniors.
Johnson, who
Tyrell
showed,
Johnson, that's
who's
another
clearly
going
to play a big role this year. But yeah, I mean, it never hurts to give a guy another year to bulk up and learn the playbook.
Certainly not. Yeah. Obviously, as you said, both parties have to be willing. They have to all agree that that's kind of the best course of action. But, I mean, gosh, what a twist, again, in Cam Denson's career.
Right.
Such a ballyhooed.
Wild, yeah.
Ballyhooed high school star here in Tucson, you know, came in with tons of hype, starts his career at cornerback, moves to wide receiver midway through, now has this injury that's lingering into his senior season. Really been kind of a rough ride for him, not what anyone, I don't think, expected when he was coming out.
I mean, we've talked about this before, but maybe that cornerback move wasn't the best move. I mean, they needed corners at the time, which is part of why they did it. But in high school, he was as dynamic of a playmaker as I've ever covered. So, it's just a what if, but it'd be interesting to see if he had 4 years of time at receiver under his belt as opposed to two.
They could use cornerbacks right now, Zach. Maybe they should move him back over to corner. What do you think about that?
But, yeah, I mean, on that note, I feel like now it's a good time to look ahead to the next game. And I think I'll leave you guys with some comments from Rich Rod about the most important player in this game, if not the best player in the country, according to one website. That'd be Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle for Houston.
He's a first-rounder, tremendous player. I mean, he plays with great leverage, strong, he's active. Runs to the ball. I mean, everything that anybody would look for an interior defensive lineman, he has it. And everybody kind of knew that coming out of high school. I mean, he could have gone anywhere in the country. So he's been every bit as advertised and then some. And they've got some other talented guys. So you got to make sure, certainly, you play with great technique. You know, we have some big guys up front. But, you know, if you don't bend your knees and you let him get underneath of it, because he'll play with great pad level, you know, he can embarrass you. So we've got to have, you know, a great job or do a lot of work this week getting our pad level down a little bit and get ready for and they'll do a lot of movement up front too, so we got to be ready for a lot of active movement up front.
Yeah, that was Rich Rod just raving about Ed Oliver, as to be expected. We saw Jim Mihalchek in the hallway earlier. He's the offensive line coach, and we said, you just up thinking about him? He's like, yeah, he's a good player. So, I mean, Michael, I mean, how important is the interior of the offensive line? They've got to be the X factor in this game, right?
You know what I'm thinking about is, remember when Boise State upset Oregon several years ago?
Yeah.
And kind of the way that they did it was penetration. I mean, if you want to blow up one of these zone read type schemes, the best way to do it is to get into the backfield and kind of disrupt those plays before they can get started. So it is imperative, it goes without saying, for Arizona to figure out how to keep Ed Oliver out of the backfield. They're probably going to have to use two guys to block him. We imagine that center Nathan Eldridge is going to be one of those, and probably
and
just depending
some combo
on
of Alsadek and Betcher / Elatise. Yeah, just depending on where we don't know where he lines up. He might move around, which would not surprise me. When you're that talented of a guy, you tend to try and move him around to get him spots, but he might not even need that anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if they play a 3-man front or a 4-man front. They haven't put out a depth chart yet. He could line up over the nose. He could be shading off of one side of the center or the other. But a huge problem, a huge focal point, a huge test for this Arizona offensive line, which, and I think Rich accurately put things, like they kind of struggled a little bit early in the game. They really couldn't get things going. But as time went on, as we went deeper into Saturday night, they kind of wore down the Lumberjacks, which was what you'd expect when you're, you know, facing an FCS school like that. I mean, I think this offensive line can be really good, can be a strength of the team. And Ed Oliver is going to put that notion to the test right away. Yeah. And when you look at the stats from last year too, Houston allowed 100.2 rushing yards per game.
And Arizona, as I told you, that included a game against Navy where Navy ran for 300 yards. So their average in reality is kind of below 100 yards a game.
Right, and we're talking about an Arizona.
That's insane for a season.
Yeah. That is totally insane. Equally insane is that Arizona has rushed for over 1,000 yards in its last two games. So
it's the battle of...
there's the conflict right there, you know? And if...
Unstoppable force meeting immovable object, right, as they say. Yeah.
And right, I think Ed Oliver is the immovable object, right? Yeah. So let's say, Zach, let's say that Arizona does struggle to run the ball. Where's your confidence level in their passing attack? Can they move the ball through the air if they have to?
That's going to be the question. I mean... This is where we're going to find out what we talked about this, and we'll say it over and over again this week probably. This is their most important game of the season maybe. If they lose, they're in trouble. And I think it's going to come down to whether or not Brandon Dawkins has made strides as a passer. And like we said, you know, we didn't see anything to indicate that's the case yet. He could change our minds this week. I mean, I think it's a what have you done for me lately. If he comes out and completes his first 10 passes or something like that, like they're going to be in really good shape. But, yeah, I mean – you know, Ed Oliver isn't a – they haven't seen a player like Ed Oliver probably since Leonard Williams was here with USC a couple years ago. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to come that Brandon Dawkins, the quarterback, is always the most important player, but he more than ever, he needs to show that he's improved as a passer.
Who was that Arizona running back that Leonard Williams
– Terrace Jones-Grigsby. Yeah, we're not sure where he is right now, but we think he's alive still.
So. Yeah, Leonard Williams was –
I mean, you covered him.
I did. Yeah. He's the best defensive lineman I've ever seen as far as, like, on a daily basis.
If you look at him, you're like, okay, yeah, that guy's going to murder some people.
He was, like, 6'6", 300 pounds, but, like, didn't have an ounce of fat on him, that kind of thing.
Oliver's, I think, like 290, so he's pretty athletic, yeah.
I mean, he's a surefire first-round pick. The one other interesting angle, I think, about this game, Zach, is that Houston hasn't played as we know, they postponed their first
game. Interesting challenges, yeah.
And Rich said, Rich kind of dismissed it a little bit. He didn't seem to think it was that big of a deal, but it would have been a great benefit, I think, to have some game film to look at.
Well, not only is this their first game, it's their first game with a new coach. Like, I mean, he was on Tom Herman's staff, but you still don't know what his philosophies are, and we don't know who their quarterback is. I assumed it was going to be Kyle Allen, but maybe not because they haven't announced it yet. So.
Yeah, new coach, new quarterback, uncertainty about schemes. Like, of course, there's a benefit in having played a game if you're Arizona when you have all these young guys. But there's also a benefit in not playing a game because you can keep everything under wraps. So they're going to have to make some adjustments on the fly in this game. It's going to be a really good test for the coaching staff in that regard. Does anything else stand out to you about this matchup, Zach? I mean, you talked about the importance of it. I mean,
I think that's
the
biggest thing.
We talked about BYU
the
same way last year. Yes. Explain to everybody why this is so important as far as the big picture of Arizona
season. It just comes down to a breakdown of what games are possible to win and which games, you know, are likely to be losses. So you look through Arizona's schedule. There's no such thing as a gimme in the Pac-12 anyway, I don't think. Oregon State maybe is not as good as we thought they were going to be, so let's call that a win. Arizona State's a toss-up. That's one win. And Cal maybe looks a little better than they did before. So just you know, hearing all that, Arizona is going to have a tough time against the UCLA's, USC's,
Oregon,
Washington State's, those teams of the world because they just don't match up well with them, and they're young, and those teams are experienced. So what it comes down to, if they're going to make a bowl game, which you would think is the goal, you know, they need to win this game. You can't start 2-1, and then because then you have to go 4-6 the rest of the way. Like, I mean, this game, it can't be overstated. This might be the difference between Rich Rod keeping his job and losing it, in my opinion.
Wow, week two. How about that? I mean, you could sort of the way things evolved in that UCLA-Texas A&M game Sunday night. It's like, that was kind of like coaches.
There's so many. That old takes exposed Twitter account is probably having a field day of people just being like, Jim Mora is fired. I had a tweet. I was kind of joking, but kind of wasn't, where I was like, so is Arizona finally going to beat UCLA? And that was when they were down 34 points. But yeah, I think that was funny. But yeah, we'll wrap it up there. You know, thanks for listening. Remember, I have my mailbag every Friday. Make sure you do hashtag AskBlatt or tweet at me at Zach Blatt. And Michael, you want to wrap this up here?
Yeah, thanks to everybody for listening to our new Wildcast podcast. We're really having a good time doing it. We hope you're enjoying it. You can find it on iTunes, right?
Yeah, as well as the Apple Podcast app, on Google Play, on our Wildcaster app, which is free.
Yeah, so you can download it. You can listen to it on your phone while you're like doing other stuff around the house, which is
if you want to hear our voices while you're doing stuff around the house, all power to you.
Right. Hey, also, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Michael J. Lev. He is at Zach Blatt. You can follow our work at Tucson.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.